The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Rejoining me for this special edition episode for the Tristan Casas reaction to the injury, I have Jim Delfino and Terry Cushman. How are you gents doing? How are you feeling right now about this? Jim, why don't you go first?
Doing well. Good to be on.
Terry.
I'm pretty shocked. And I was at a tournament all weekend, so I was a little bit disconnected. But I forget the actual words in the war room. Somebody said, like, OMFG, oh my bleeping God. And I knew it was injury related, but I didn't know who. And I was literally out to dinner with other players, and I'm like, who is it? Like, is it Campbell? Is it the pitcher? I forget who was even starting that night. And I'm like, and then it was Casas. And I'm not going to say I was relieved. We do not root for injuries. Like, and we're not a Tristan Casas podcast, as most people already know. And if it's your first episode, you're about to find out. But yeah, so it was Casas. Not surprised. Not a good record of health, but man, and it was pretty catastrophic. And you knew before he got carted off the field, you're not seeing him for at least a year.
Yeah, it was the second inning of the Bayo game. That was the one that we won 6-1. So it was almost like the rest of the team rallying around Tristan for being out. I'm not going to be the first person to say this. This is a devastating injury for somebody of his size. And if you look at that again, 250 pounds falling on knee on like hard dirt, not a fun feeling. I literally weigh half of what this dude weighs, and I'm sure it would have hurt, but not nearly as much as, you know, a 6'4" frame guy trying to leg out an infield hit. I mean, second inning, we're now done. He's done for a year minimum, and it could be longer than that for recovery. I'm shocked. Like, I don't wish any ill will on any player. The one thing going through my mind is, man, oh man, if you had only signed that extension. That's the only thing that was going through my mind for Tristan Casas. And after every little incident, whether it be, you know, I do things just to upset people, or, you know, I like to do this, and I like to set up this way. I like to talk to myself. And every single game that something happens, or every single incident that something happens, I almost felt like I was like another shot at Tristan. And he kept on coming back, and he kept on trying to, you know, just push out the negative energy and the negative thoughts and whatnot. So to have something like this happen, it really sucks. It really does. Because you do want Casas to figure it out. You need him to figure it out. Because this was the guy that, you know, we thought, okay, could be a cornerstone piece, could be the everyday first baseman. We're not really sure if he's going to be the everyday first baseman. We're going to see if we can try to move him and trade him. And then we can't trade him because he's not even like no team wants him. I think partially because of the antics. To season-ending injury. I don't think it's career-ending. I think he's going to, you know, he'll come back. But it's going to be quite a long road as far as recovery is concerned. And at the end of the day now, we don't have an answer at first base. We have a couple of potential solutions, but I don't think there's anybody who says, yeah, clear cut, I know exactly what we're doing. And it's not like we're 30-6 right now. We're 18-18. And we're expecting this to be an outlet for power and defense. And now that outlet for power is gone and there's a hole at first base. So, Jim, why don't you go first? Like, what's your initial reaction? What do you think the Red Sox should do? Is there an answer? Are we totally screwed? Like, what do you think is going to happen?
So just to back off on your point a little bit with Casas being, you know, a rather large athlete, and, you know, the way that the mechanism of the injury was, he's coming down first base. There was a little bit of a buckle on that left knee prior to reaching the bag, you know, before he went down. So there was definitely some instability happening there. And talking from, you know, a bit of a medical background, as you both know, when you rupture the patella tendon, there can be a complete tear or there can be a partial tear. Complete tears like he had, the average person, now whatever you want to use for average is obviously going to be different for everybody's expertise and discussion, but the average individual is going to be 8 to 12 months for recovery. And you're probably talking about a person that is not a professional athlete that has to start and stop and play a sport. Now add on the fact that he's a gigantic man. He's young, but there's a lot of wear and tear and weight and pressure being placed on that patellar tendon. If I had to be a guessing man, I would say you probably will see him, if you're lucky, at the end of next season, August, September. That's just a guess. It could be sooner, depending on how fast he is for recovery. But, you know, the history shows he's not what I would call a fast healer. He had his, quote, car accident in the rib cage last year, which... I've never heard any medical professional say anything like that ever. But let's put that aside for a moment. He was rehabbing down in AAA. We could have used the bat. It seemed like it was like, push me here, I'm coming to get him back up in the majors. So I don't know how fast of a recovery individual he is. So I'm going to say that it's going to be a while before you see him. Because of the length of that, I think right now, why are we putting Vaughn Grissom at first base if we're not looking to maybe potentially give him a shot there? I think he played again there today. He's obviously blocked in second. He's blocked at short, which would probably be the only two other positions that you could even have him possibly play at outside of DH. And that's not going to happen with Braffy. So I think it makes the most logical sense to give him a chance. I mean, he could probably hit 181 as good as anybody else. You know, is it a blow? I mean, I don't wish injury on any player or any person. But if you have to look at it from a different perspective and say, okay, you know, what was the team, what was he doing for the team at the time? He wasn't very offensively productive and wasn't very defensively productive. So I think that we could give Grissom a chance. Like I say, I don't think it can be any worse offensively for what he can give to the team. Romy's there now. He's played some first base for them last year. It's been adequate, but he's not a first baseman either. He doesn't have the height. And we've seen a lot of balls tip off his glove, especially in the dirt. So I don't think he's a long-term solution there. I like Romy, actually. I think he's a good utility guy, but he's not going to be an everyday first baseman. I joked on Twitter and I said, what's Dom Smith doing? But again, you know, he's left-handed, right? So Grissom being right-handed, that's a really good potential option there. I've seen some things on Twitter about, well, what if we move Campbell to first base and bring Meyer up to play second, or switch Story and Meyer around? I like it, but again, it's going back to the service time thing. Plus, now you're going to tell Campbell, well, you know, we wanted you here as a second baseman, but we're going to sign Bregman. Bregman's going to play second. No, he's not. He's going to be the third baseman. Raffy, can you DH? But now we have Campbell as our second baseman, but, you know, not every day. We're going to put you in center field. Now, you know what? Forget it. Let's give you a first baseman's mitt. You're going to play first base. I mean, let's not screw with that kid too much. So I think it's the best option is to bring up Grissom, see what he's got. And he might surprise us.
Yeah, so you look at Costas's trajectory from when he debuted in late 2022 till now. He had a three-month window where he was one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball, but beyond that, he's been largely inconsistent, largely one-dimensional. You know, he's not a good situational hitter. He just tries to kill the ball every time. And I mean, he lost the fan base. Like Tristan Casas, I can't think of a prospect in Red Sox organization history that did so many things wrong, you know, on the field, off the field. I mean, you look at Bobby Dalbec, he was such a likable guy off the field. He just couldn't figure it out on the field. Tristan Casas couldn't figure out either one. And, you know, you had Manny being Manny all those years, but he was one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time. And, you know, you had to live with it because of that. And he kind of earned the right to carry himself the way that he wanted to an extent. With Casas, it was just a clown show the whole time. And he became untradeable. Nobody wanted him. We tried to give him to the Mariners just if they were willing to take Yoshida. You know, they could have had Casas, but they said no to that. And then who did they sign at first base? Rowdy Tellez. Isn't that who went to Seattle? So yeah. So, and then Casas, as Charlie mentioned, did not take the extension. Thank goodness. It wouldn't have been super consequential. It probably would have been around what Campbell signed, but at least we're not committed to him now. I don't see a pathway for him even after he gets healthy. I think the Red Sox are going to find their long-term solution at first. I'm a big Devers guy, and there was a lot of kicking it around tonight on social media as we were getting ready for the show. You know, Cotillo, Merlone, all kind of speculating. I think Devers would love to play first base if given the opportunity, but I don't know. I mean, tomorrow's an off day, so perhaps we won't necessarily find out anything tomorrow, but Tuesday afternoon could be interesting in terms of moves. You know, if something happens and you get your long or I shouldn't say long term, but you could get your guy for the next several weeks, you know, having a shot at it, whether it is Grissom. I would be okay with that. Another thing, Jim's not going to like this, but one thing you could do, I guess it would involve moving Rafi to first, so that might be fine, but you could platoon Rob Refsnyder and, wait for it, Masataki Yoshida at DH. I'm okay. I think I'm not a Yoshida guy, as we all know, but I think he'll give you more than Costas would give you. I think he's a better situational hitter, and I'm fine with him facing righties. And it looks like Refsnyder never played a single game in the Twin Series. So it really looks like they're hell bent on lefties only with Refsnyder. I don't see him getting many starts with a righty on the mound, barring more injuries, which hopefully won't happen. But yeah, so that's just one option if you don't want to call up the kids just yet. But I'm a Devers guy. I'm a Devers out of DH guy. I just think when he's on the field, he's happier. He's kind of a social guy, you know, with the other team's players when they're on base. I think he enjoys not being in the dugout for all but four at bats every night. And I see nothing but upside there. I think he can scoop the ball probably better than Tristan Casas could. And we'll see. But we don't have a first baseman in the system, and I'm fine with it being Devers. Charlie?
This should be fun. So you are in a room, and there are no less than six doors. The first door right now, the Red Sox have opened, and it's Abraham Toro. And that's not a sufficient solution. We've given him a couple of opportunities, but that's not a sexy name. Option two, we haven't opened it yet, would be Vaughn Grissom. And that's one that we've discussed briefly. I'd be willing to entertain that. Someone who can play the infield, has had some opportunities with scoops and playing some balls that are going to go to his left, to his right, playing some second base, some shortstop. I'm hoping that he can possibly be an option. Door number three, it has a little light outside because it's being entertained quite a bit, would be having Rafael Devers there. So the Rafi Devers door is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, I wonder if playing in the infield will give him like a renown or kind of like new sense of purpose playing again, as opposed to just being the DH. I don't think Devers likes being the DH. Here's the problem. Your replacement hit 350 last month and absolutely torched it and is leading the team in home runs, in RBIs, and then batting average. I think he's leading that. Yeah, he is. 317. So he's sweeping all three. He's leading the team in on-base percentage and hits. So he's not going anywhere. You're not getting third base back, as much as it hurts, as much as it pains me to say it, because everybody knows my feelings. I'm taking the L on Bregman. He's been owning it. He's been killing it. He's been crushing it. And you throw behind him, he's going to hit a home run. So there's that. With Devers, though, some opportunities with pick scooping and whatnot at third, I would be willing to entertain it. He's not the most athletically gifted third baseman, hybrid going over to first. He would not be the first third baseman moving over to first base, you know, guy, whether it be in the Red Sox organization or in Major League Baseball. So that's an option. Door number four, got a new handle, trying to put some WD-40 on the hinges here. And that's possibly, I'm going to talk about it briefly because Terry already mentioned it, and I just don't want him to feel alone here. Masataka Yoshida as a first baseman has never been something that I've ever considered. I don't know why Terry would consider it. He's 5'8",
Charlie.
But he's talking about it, right? Rob Refsnyder at first base. A decently gifted hitter against lefties. He's pretty special when it's against lefties. And then who would be your first base option against righties?
Romy. I don't know. Yeah.
Here's something that possibly Romy, right? Yeah, possibly Romy. If you are going to platoon, right? Here's another one. Because everything has potentially gone wrong on this particular circumstance, because what went from, yeah, that didn't look good, to that looks pretty serious, to, as Dr. Jim Delfino said, going to be a year injury. He's 25. Tristan Casas is 25 years old, 26. I have to look it up. I think he's 25. Yeah, 25 years old, right? He's 6'4", 244. Probably not in the best shape. I would say, because he's mid-20s, probably has that benefit going towards him as opposed to against him, because he's on the right side of 30. If he's 31 or 29 years old, I'm probably thinking we're looking at over a year of a recovery. But you mentioned 8 to 12 months, right? Yeah. So probably going to take in that range. I'd be shocked if it's 8 months. I'd be shocked if it's 10. And he's definitely not Trevor Storing his way through this and coming back this year. That ain't happening. So the Chicago White Sox just DFA'd Bobby Dalbec, right? Here's that fifth door. Got warning, caution tape on it. But Terry brought up Masataka Yoshida. So I'm going to take a sip of the silly juice too. Would there be a world in any capacity where the Red Sox would talk to him, assuming he's outrighted waivers and he does not accept the minor league assignment, to say, Bobby, we need a first baseman. We know it hasn't worked out, but you know what? We're willing to give you another chance. Would the Red Sox be willing to do that? He's 4-for-18 on the year. He's had one extra base hit, only a handful of strikeouts, hitting 222. Better than Tristan Casas, 3 less home runs, 10 less RBIs. Is there a world where we would consider bringing someone that does have the experience, a little more athletic ability, probably I'd say the best first base IQ out of all those guys, although I think that Rob Refsnyder could probably learn it the quickest and make that adjustment. I don't know how I feel about Connor Wong being a guy over at first base, but is there a world where the Red Sox would potentially explore that option yet again? Because right now it's between, honestly, the most realistic options is probably that super platoon where we don't really have a first baseman. We're just going to have 4, or Rafi Devers. I think that's going to be what ends up happening, because Abraham Toro is just a science experiment. And then when it explodes and breaks the glass in science class, you have to replace the glass, because that's probably what's going to happen. He's going to hit over 200, not going to hit any home runs, maybe an extra base hit. He's going to strike out a lot, and that's going to be it. Would there be a world where we would entertain Casas? I'm curious to know both. Bobby D, right? Yeah, Bobby D. He just got DFA'd. He's very familiar with the Red Sox. He knows full out it didn't work out in Chicago. It's a dumpster fire team there, with a renowned purpose of playing for a team that actually matters and actually gives a you-know-what. Do you think that this could be a chance for Bobby D to turn the page?
I'll let Jim go first.
I don't want him back. okay. As simple as that.
You don't want him back, but could he do it though, is the question. Do you think he could
I rule out nothing, I mean, the Red Sox certainly could go ahead and do that. The logistics behind it would be, obviously you got to create a roster spot on the 40 man. You got to purchase his contract, put him on the 26. So you've got some roster configuration around there. Obviously Casas is going to go to the 60 day. I don't think they put him on the 60 day yet. I think he's still on the 10 day. So obviously by doing that, he's off the 40 man, and then you could bring a guy like Dahl back in. So it's just a logistic thing versus anything. We did that with Bradley Jr. when they brought him back in that trade. I don't want to do that again. I would rather say, look, I got a 25-year-old guy that I traded Chris Sale, who won a Cy Young Award for the Atlanta Braves, who you paid $18 million to win. And you got Grissom, who was supposed to be a stud out of the Atlanta organization, who kept bringing up stud after stud after stud in guys like Acuna Jr. and so forth, Albies and so forth. So we thought we were getting something really high end there. Obviously it didn't work out. He made a cup of coffee appearance at the end of last season, looked pretty good. But he's already here. You're working him out at first base. I just think it makes the most logical sense. Again, I rule out nothing. It wouldn't shock me if they brought him back, Dalbec. It wouldn't shock me at all. I would snicker, but I don't think he's going to all of a sudden have some kind of renaissance and be the Bobby Dalbec from 2020 or 21. I just don't see that happening, because he certainly didn't do it there. And I understand that the White Sox are, you know, just a black hole of an organization, even though they beat the hell out of us, and have a third of their wins against our team. But I, you know, if he wanted out of there, have a good year, work hard and try to get out after a season, that didn't happen there. So I rule out nothing. I think it could possibly be. If I was Breslow, I wouldn't do it. I would bring up Grissom. I think that Toro's going to get DFA'd probably tomorrow, or Tuesday, and they'll probably announce Grissom being brought up, in my opinion. I think that's what's going to happen, and there'll maybe be some shuffling around with some of the pitching. So maybe two or three moves by Tuesday's game time. But yeah, I'm a no on Bobby D. Been there, done that.
So the big problem with Casas, one of them was optics. You probably needed to demote him to AAA, but you couldn't do it because of optics. And part of the problem with optics is you're trying to generate some trade value potentially to move him off the roster that way. So I don't want to say the Red Sox caught a break, but you know, his lack of durability sort of temporarily solved the Casas problem for the front office. And he's going to be recovering now, and he's going to be off the team. I can't see them bringing in a guy like Bobby Dalbec. I don't think this fan base can stomach that anymore. Before the injury, you basically had two black holes in your lineup. One was at first base with Tristan Casas. The other has been at shortstop for a while with Trevor Story. There's not another hitter in that lineup that I was overly pessimistic about. Narvaez ended up being very serviceable, could hit for power, hit for extra bases. Rafaela seems to do just enough to kind of keep himself out of that category. Gives you a competitive at-bat, can put the ball in play. He's fast on the bases. He can leg out singles that Casas would be out by at least 20 feet with. So I just can't see them going back to a guy like Bobby Dalbec. And it's going to be an interesting 48 hours to see them doing anything. But I think anything short of Devers to first, or a move that could get Meyer up here, whether that's, like Jim said, moving Story over to first. Story's about 6 feet tall. I don't see why he couldn't do it. And I think he's naturally a very athletic person also. So you move Story to short, move him to first, Meyer to short. I'm sure there's a creative way to get Roman Anthony up here if they really wanted to do it. You could take that. There's a lot of moving Devers to first stuff to make it happen, but you could simply rotate the outfielders into the DH spot. They could do that. They could play DH every fourth game just to get somewhat of a night off. And that allows all your outfielders to be in the lineup one way or another. There's ways to do it. So we're going to, however it shakes out, if it's Grissom, if it's Devers at first, if it's something unforeseen, we're going to be a more dynamic lineup. And that's at the expense of Casas's injury. And again, we're not rooting for that. And I love a good redemption story. You know, if Casas just kind of focused on baseball, got away from the clown circus act, he could have won me back, but it would have taken a while, and it would have taken some consistency on the field. But I don't know. Casas isn't a guy that likes to change his ways and admit he's wrong about anything. So there's also that. One final thing before we wrap. And I'm not in love with this, and I get less in love with it by the day, but perhaps there would be some benefits. If you called up the St. Louis Cardinals right now, held them over a barrel and said, I will pay $5 million for the remaining 3 years, a season for the next 3 years for Nolan Arenado. Do you bring him on for the leadership? Maybe to help improve the morale and kind of give this team a little bit more of an identity and hopefully take a step forward.
Well, here's the thing, T. It's not happening. If you're St. Louis, you know that you hold the cards here. The Red Sox are desperate. They don't have a solution at first base. If you're going to try to get Nolan Arenado, you're going to be eating up more than $5 million.
I don't think so. No, but there's really other teams that could probably use him, and they're not even calling.
I'm wondering if it's too late on it.
He's a shadow of his former self. Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's a little too late on that. You know, the offseason was a possibility. But I mean, you do that now. I mean, he's having a good start to the season. I mean, does St. Louis want to actually, like, you know, wave the white flag on that? I don't know. You know, I think it's a little too late for that.
I can pull his metrics up. The regular categories, average, on base, and all that, don't look that bad at all on the surface. But when you dive into the more advanced stuff, and I'm not a real big advanced stats guy, but his average exit velocity, he's only in the 10 percentile. So not a lot of power there. His barrel percentage, only 22%. So you're not getting a lot there. Where he still is very good is he's not chasing balls. He is drawing walks. He doesn't strike out very much. So you're getting some good plate discipline, but for some reason the power has just evaporated. So I think that's what's scaring some teams away. So I think the Cardinals are stuck with him, and I think you could get him really cheap. But even then, it still might not make sense.
It doesn't. We're going to be taking on $58 million over the next 3 years. There's $10 million being paid off.
No, I'm saying, right? In my scenario, we're only going to pay $5 million a year. A fraction.
They're not doing that. They're not doing it. No. I don't think I don't want to say it's too late for something like that, but I think if they're going to say, okay, you guys are desperate for it, why don't you take 75% of the contract? Negotiate down from there. Either way, you're still eating up probably close to $30 million of what's left of the $58 million. 68 on paper, they're getting $10 million paid for it. So of the 58, you're probably eating about 30. And that's just not worth it for Nolan Arenado, who's probably going to be done and or DFA'd next year at some point. I don't think he's going to find a career resurgence like Albert Pujols did when he, you know, was playing at 39, 40 years old. Nolan Arenado is 34 years old, and he's, you know, he's just a shadow of his former self. Like, you think about it, in 2022, he hit 293, had 30 home runs, 103 RBIs. Next year, 26 home runs, 93 RBIs, down to 266. So now the speed's taken a shot, and he's played four less games. The following year, he plays eight more games, has more at-bats, 10 less home runs. He's down to 16 homers, 71 RBIs, his batting average, 272. So far this year, three home runs, 14 RBIs, and he's hitting 254. By next year, he's going to be hitting 220, maybe 230 with maybe 5 to 6 home runs for the season. I can't justify spending that kind of money or investing that kind of money. Yes, I get it. The leadership piece is going to be huge, but he's going to be DFA'd next year. I wouldn't be, and no disrespect to Arenado, unless he could, you know, fact of the matter is the numbers aren't going the right direction. He had the benefit of hitting in Colorado, and maybe if he wasn't hitting in Colorado towards the, you know, the better part of his career, maybe he's really only like a 30-95 guy and he hits 280, 290. I think Colorado really did amplify his numbers, and it helped to get him the contract that he did. That's just a statement of fact. Same thing with Trevor Story. Trevor Story got a really nice contract because of what he was able to do as a member of the Colorado Rockies. It is what it is, but I'm not paying him $5 million a year. I'm not paying, you know, if you could get it, sure. Is that happening? No. Anything else?
To be determined.
That's going to wrap it up. Yeah, that's going to wrap it up for the Bastards. Everyone have a great one. Take care.